Chapter 1. The old Jacobs place was in disrepair. The last owner hadn't been big on maintenance, and now there was a leak in Garen's study. Right over his damn computer, in fact. He glared at it from the doorway, elegantly dressed in a gray suit. He'd just arrived in Jacobsville from Washington, D.C., where he'd been taking a course at Quantico on homicide investigation. It was his new specialty, that area of law enforcement. Garen Greer was a career FBI man. He worked out of the San Antonio office, but he'd recently moved from an apartment there to this huge ranch in Jacobsville. His brother Cash was the Jacobsville police chief. The brothers had been alienated for some time. Cash had disowned his family over his father's remarriage just days after his beloved mother's death from cancer. That long feud had only just ended. Cash was newly, happily married to Tippi Moore, the Georgia Firefly of modeling and motion picture fame. She had just had their first child, a little girl. Cash thought the child was the crown jewels. To Garen, she looked more like a little red prune with flailing fists, but as the days passed, she did seem to grow prettier. Garen loved children. No one would have guessed it. He had a demeanor that was blunt and confrontational. He rarely smiled, and he was usually all business, even with women. Especially with women. He'd lost his one true love to cancer. It had eaten the heart out of him. Now, at 36, he was resigned to being alone for the rest of his life. It was just as well, he decided, because he had nothing to give to a woman. He lived for his job. He would have liked a child of his own, though. A little boy would be nice. But he had no desire to risk his heart in pursuit of one. Miss Jane Turner, the housekeeper he'd hired, came into the room behind him, her thin face resigned.
"There aren't any construction people available until next week, Mr. Garen," she said in her Texas drawl. "We'd best put a bucket under it for now, I reckon, unless you want to climb up on the roof with a hammer and nails."
He gave her a superior look. "I don't climb up on roofs," he said flatly. She looked him over in the suit.
"That doesn't surprise me," she muttered, turning to go.
He gave her a shocked look. She must think he never wore anything but suits when he'd grown up on a sprawling West Texas ranch. He could ride anything with four legs, and he'd won prizes in rodeo competitions in his teens. Now he knew more about guns and investigation than he did about rodeo, but he could still run a ranch. In fact, he was stocking purebred Black Angus cattle here, and he planned to give his father and brothers a run for their money in cattle shows. He had in mind founding his own champion herd sires here. If he could lick the problem of getting qualified cowboys to work for an outsider, that was. Small towns seemed to draw into themselves when people from other places moved in. Jacobsville had less than 2,000 people living in it, and most of them seemed to watch Garen from behind curtained windows every time he walked around town. He was surveyed, measured up, and kept carefully at a distance for the time being. People in Jacobsville were particular about letting strangers join the family, because that was what they considered themselves, a family of 2,000 souls. He glanced at his watch. He was already late for a meeting with his squad of agents at the San Antonio FBI office, but last night his flight had been unexpectedly delayed in D.C. by a security hitch. It was early morning before the plane landed in San Antonio. He'd had to drive down to Jacobsville, and he'd barely slept. He walked out onto the wide, concrete front porch with its gray floor and white porch swing and white wicker furniture and cushions. Those were new. It was late February, and his housekeeper said they needed some place for his company to sit when it came. He told her he wasn't expecting to have any. She snorted and ordered the furniture anyway. She was an authority on everybody who lived around here. She'd probably become an authority on him in short time, but he'd told her graphically what would happen if she dared to pass on any personal gossip about his life. She just smiled. He hated that damn smile. If he could have gotten any other spinster lady with her cooking skills to work for him... He glanced at an old black car of unknown vintage, coughing smoke as it went slowly down the road. That would be the next-door neighbor, whose little green-trimmed white clapboard house was barely visible through the pecan and mesquite trees that separated